For freedom, Christ has set us free, Paul says to the Galatians. We are fortunate to live freely here in Switzerland in comparison with so many people in our world. Think of the people desperately fighting in Ukraine for freedom from the invading Russian forces. Or the people of North Korea. Or women in Afghanistan, whose lives are so tightly and brutally controlled and who lack basic freedoms. It's hard for us even to imagine the daily reality for some of these people. But even though we enjoy freedoms that the people of Ukraine and North Korea or the women of Afghanistan might just dream of, are we truly free? In Western societies, we talk a lot about freedom. But what is freedom? Sometimes in the identity politics of today, the search for freedom can become a battleground, as the freedom for one group may curtail the freedom of another group. What is freedom? Freedom, as spoken about by politicians and human rights groups, is often seen as the freedom to do what I want or what is best for my group. Freedom as a right. But what does freedom mean in Christian terms? Are we freed from something? Or freed for something, or both? How do we use our freedom? Paul, whose gospel is a gospel of freedom, is concerned with all these questions, as we see from his letter to the Galatians and our reading this morning, and they're still relevant to us today. For freedom Christ has set us free, Paul says. Stand firm then, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Earlier in his letter, Paul has been arguing against those in the Galatian church who taught that all Christians should follow the Jewish law and all the males be circumcised. Paul emphasizes it's not the law that brings us into right relationship with God, but faith in Christ. It's only Christ, and not Christ and the law, who brings us that freedom. Indeed, he argues that those who make relationship with God dependent on keeping the Jewish law are returning to slavery, because they will never be able to keep this law perfectly. Paul is uncompromising. It's through Christ alone that we are given the freedom to become a child of God, a beloved son or a beloved daughter. We are no longer slaves, but free children of God. And this freedom is a gift from God. It's not something that we earn for ourselves. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Of course, as beloved children of God, we will still want to serve God, yet not under compulsion, but through our faith. Before his conversion, John Wesley said, he served God as a servant. Afterwards, he served God as a son. Calvin said that it is freedom that enables us to have an eager readiness to obey God. We are freed from the law, freed from legalism, and now we enjoy the freedom of being God's beloved children. But how do we use our freedom? If we are free from the law, does that mean we're free to do whatever we want? Paul's answer is a clear no. He tells the Galatians, "For you were called to freedom, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence." As one commentator puts it, freedom from the law does not mean freedom to do what I like. It means freedom from myself. Freedom to be unselfish, freedom, that is, to live in love. For Paul, freedom is clearly not just about doing what we feel like or whatever serves our own best interest. Now, of course, for all of us, our first concerns are often for ourselves and what is best for me. And I am far more interested in my freedom and my comfort than anyone else's. But for Paul, freedom involves the responsibility to look beyond ourselves and care for others. If we are eagerly to serve God as his children, then we will use our freedom to look out for the needs of others. Indeed, he says, through love, we are to become slaves of one another. Slaves of one another. That's a very strange and paradoxical phrase to use when talking about freedom. But true freedom involves responsibility and self-giving. We are called to love God and love our neighbours as ourselves. As we know, Western societies tend to emphasize the individual's freedom to choose. But freedom in Christ is about interdependence. It's not about my freedom to do whatever I want or to think what's best for me without reference to anyone else. This kind of freedom inevitably leads to conflict with others, as Paul points out. And we certainly saw this conflict of freedoms over the COVID restrictions. And we were challenged to look beyond what I might want to choose for myself to think about what might be best for others. Paul's message is that freedom to do what I want is in fact not freedom at all. It leads to what he calls the works of the flesh rather than the fruits of the Spirit, a contrast which he emphasizes in these verses in Galatians. Now, before we get confused, we have to realize that the works of the flesh, in saying that, Paul is not saying that everything to do with the body is bad and everything to do with the soul is good. Flesh doesn't simply mean body. Flesh means human life lived without reference to God, whereas living in the Spirit is living life in relation to God. You've only got to look at Paul's list of works of the flesh to realize that he isn't only concerned about sexual immorality and drunkenness, but also enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, and factions. These things are all too familiar, not only in our society and our wider world, but also within the church. And we always need to guard against such things. Perhaps the freedom we need is not the freedom to do just what I want, after all. If I simply do what I want, I am at the mercy of my own selfish impulses, my appetites, my moods, and I will inevitably come into conflict with other people. The freedom we are given in Christ involves a freedom from ourselves, from our own inner compulsions and addictions, our self-centered impulses, and our competitive jealousy and resentment towards others. Because it's not only external situations or rules and regulations that can constrain us. We can also be enslaved by our own inner attitudes and compulsions. And no politician, no laws or regulations, however good, can bring us this kind of inner freedom. For this, we need the grace of God. Now, I'm sure that if we were honest, we would all have to admit there are things within ourselves we don't always like very much. There may be attitudes and actions of which we feel ashamed and we wish that we could be freed from. We all need to be freed from our innate selfishness, our addictions and resentments, our lack of care for others, and freed for a generous self-giving of ourselves to God and other people. But how can we do this? It can be a real struggle to resist our own selfish impulses. They are deeply, deeply ingrained in us. We are all essentially rather self-centered and see things primarily only from the perspective of how they affect me. That's why politicians primarily appeal so successfully to self-interest. How can we be different and love God and neighbour as ourselves? We can only be rescued from our self-life, as one writer calls it, if we have a new centre beyond ourselves. In Paul's terms, this means we need to be led by the Spirit. Freedom in Christ means living in the Spirit. It's only the Spirit working in us that can help us to resist the works of the flesh, self-centeredness, conflict, and divisions, and help us to grow different qualities, those fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Of course, it is a lifelong process to produce these fruits. Certainly, it involves disciplines of prayer and meditation on Scripture, regular self-examination and repentance, and the support of the Christian community through fellowship and sharing in the Eucharist. We need to be open to the Spirit and to live by the Spirit. And if we do so, these qualities will grow in us, and eventually we will reap what we have sown, as Paul later says, later in the letter to the Galatians. So today, as we think about freedom, let us remember and pray for all those in our world who lack many basic freedoms, those who are oppressed, enslaved, or persecuted in any kind of way, those who lack the economic means and educational opportunities to sustain themselves and their families. As we do so, let us give thanks for the freedoms that we enjoy, but not only the external freedoms of our society, but the deeper freedom we have in Christ. We do not need to earn God's love and approval like a slave. Rather, we are welcomed as his free sons and daughters. But let us also not forget the challenge to reflect on then how we use our freedom. Pondering that list of the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit can be a very salutary exercise. Perhaps we can ask ourselves, which of the list of the works of the flesh do we most easily fall into? And which of the fruits of the Spirit do we most need to grow in our lives? Let us pray for true freedom in Christ, freedom from our compulsions and attitudes, those that enslave us and lead us to divisions amongst one another, and freedom for a deeper love for God and neighbour. A freedom that is focused on myself and turned in on myself is an illusory freedom, for I am still trapped within myself. True freedom involves an eager readiness to serve God and serve my neighbour. May we use our freedom in Christ for the good of others within our church and our wider world, and cooperate with the Spirit in producing the fruits of love, joy, and peace, and all the rest. And may we discover more and more that true freedom does not come from following our own will and desires, but by following Christ. As Saint Augustine put it, to know you is life, to serve you is freedom. Amen.